and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love, and we got a wicked awesome crossover episode for everybody.
It's finally happening. We had an awesome episode with Leslie where we talked about the movie. Jesus, what the fuck's the movie called?
Oh, Marathon Man.
Marathon Man.
Yeah. Classic Nazi stuff for anybody who likes Ivan the Terrible.
Man, yeah, it's a really good one. People should check that out. But please welcome Struggle Session to Art and Labor, Jack Allison and Leslie Lee III.
Yeah, wow. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining. I mean, we're a podcast dedicated to like art and cultural workers. So, you know, we've been following, you know, you guys forever, and we're happy to finally get Jack on because, his posting about the labor issues in like Hollywood jobs is very in line with what our podcast is all about.
Well, thank you. Oh, yeah, I'm really glad to be here.
So you're also just bitter failures.
Yes.
Dude. You're upset and you couldn't make it. And so, you know, this is what you do now.
I prefer to think of myself as an alchemist where I take all my disappointments and I make them into Patreon payouts.
Yeah. We're making it work. I mean, you know, I definitely didn't have grand delusions about making it in the art world, because the art world is even more brutal sometimes than the Hollywood stuff. It's a mess. It's a big mess.
Oh yeah.
No. I mean, all the passion industries, I think, you know, just from what I've learned, like all these ones, I only really know film and sort of comedy community, but like everything is the same. You know what I mean? Like when it's a passion industry, you know, the people at the top who are making money are very, very happy to just take advantage of all the young people who desperately want to do the work.
Totally.
And somehow it always seems that the people at the top just print money for themselves and everybody else gets paid like $2 an hour. How interesting how that happens.
Yeah. And you know, me and Lucia met through comedy sort of circles, even mm-hmm. though mm-hmm. we both, you know, went to school for fine art, because a lot of the folks who are doing comedy here in New York City are like kind of art adjacent.
Yeah, there's a big alternative comedy scene that just we were lucky enough to be right in the middle of, and actually find some people who have like a sensitive outlook on life.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, the crossover between the comedy, showbiz, and art worlds in New York are all like super fluid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, especially since there's just been such a huge push from museums over the past, I guess, I don't know, like trends tend to run in 7-year cycles. But it's been a really strong, like, oh, comedy can be art. Let's have comedians perform in art venues.
Yeah,
and then we'll
yeah.
have a lot of people write about, like, whatever, you know, phenomenological mm-hmm. thing is going on when you see comedy. And, like, where is, like, comedy placed in society? Like, let's get the think pieces out there in
right.
the catalogs.
Right. So you have, like, literal, like SNL writers also doing MoMA gigs. Like, that's not uncommon
that's
at all.
Awful. What we've been trying to do with our show whenever we talk about comedy is to reduce the place and status of comedy in society. We want less comedy to be less important, frankly.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, the yin and yang principles, they're in constant flux.
It's a whole thing. I mean, you know, there's the whole like nanetification of it. And then,
right.
you know, there's just people taking survival checks and, you know.
Yeah, comedy's kind of a mess out there. It's kind of a mess. You can kind of either, right now, there's a real boom market in doing branded posts for Mike Bloomberg.
Yes!
So that's a good way.
Uh-huh. Yes! Thank you for that
segue.
That's
a good way to make some money.
Oh my God.
Because that is the topic of the hour, folks.
Jesus. Hey, you know what's really cool? Doritos and also Bloomberg. And I have some money now. Hey, I'm a micro-influencer.
I have to do these brand. I have to do bounty boards on Twitch, and I swear before this year is over, I will be asked to do a Mike Bloomberg bounty board.
Will you do a
and
spoof?
I think I'll turn down that $30. I think I will turn down that $30.
Oh, I just want to see a whole bunch of like, sabotage ads for him though.
Oh, there's I was reading about how some people were influenced or infiltrating his text banking right. operations and yeah. stuff like that. Like it's happening. And,
I
like,
love it. Yeah. I love it. I think it's great. however, I really, really worry for everybody that when this yes. is all over, Mike Bloomberg is going to like sue every single person. I truly am scared of it because these people are really fucked up.
It's true.
So I love the project. Him. Go infiltrate Bloomberg, but it is a you are taking a risk in doing
you have
that,
to be
I would say.
You have to be really careful when yeah. you mess with these literal thugs, because this is, you know, mm-hmm. this is coming out of this, all of this stuff, all the stuff we want to talk about today. We, you know, we're a New York centric podcast. So we've in past episodes talked about the independent Democratic caucus or committee, which was a group of Democrats who would caucus with the Republicans here in New York City. Which
so what you're saying is you hate working across the aisle.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I just like to spit in all of the hands that are like reaching across the aisle. I just run down, spit in them all.
Like, if you ever needed proof that like politics is nothing more than like a sports game to so many people, you look no further than the Democratic Party in New York City.
Yeah, right.
And how many people play games with it.
Them teams just getting bought up.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, we have Trump, who used to be a Democrat, Trump, who used to be good friends with Bloomberg. And then we have Bloomberg, who is now
a Republican up until 30 seconds ago.
Yeah. Republican up until 30 seconds ago, running as a Democrat. And fucking like,
because it's all the same party.
But all of these folks, this is driving me nuts. My mother posted the Bloomberg tweet being like, you know, making fun of Trump, like, LOL, this is so funny. I don't support Bloomberg, but blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And it's just like, this is madness.
Well, even
this
crazier is like, yeah, is my mother going, it's really, really nice that he, you know, Bloomberg said that he would fund the campaign of any other nominee if they won. And that just like shows how nice he is. Like, he, you know, he would support anyone. He's not in it to win. He just like really loves democracy.
So many.
If he loves democracy, why is he trying to buy it?
Like, and he's done this before. Like, he bought himself a third term in New York City. He completely like changed the term limits. Bought the mm-hmm. law and was it. And these are the same folks who were so easily fucking brainwashed during like the Juan Guaido coup, like, or attempted coup, yeah. being like, oh, well, Evo Morales, he changed the rules to give himself another term. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Do you guys don't believe in anything? You just believe in a blue team and a red team.
Yeah, it's
kind of
true.
It is. Like, honestly, anybody that like, you know, is willing to support Bloomberg because, you know, he's just not Trump. Like, really, that is like the sole qualification, is that he is just physically not the exact same man as Trump. Because, like, for all intents and purposes, he is very much the same man.
He's
like,
Trump.
He is richer than Trump, and that's a bad thing, even though liberals like yes. seem to think that that's a good thing or something
My
like that.
God.
But other than that, he's like, is Trump.
He's
they
just
went to all the same
sexist.
Parties. They're just two fucking New York, like, rich guys who, like,
they
like to put
friends.
Their hands up girls' like skirts and
yeah.
shit.
Literally. And tell them to get like, abortions and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Like, they're the same.
Evil. They're evil. And, like, honestly, Bloomberg is worse. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I think that it is more dangerous.
There is a debate to be had, which is because like, Bloomberg is, you know, a competent, racist, fascist. And Trump can be easily distracted by things like Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
I also think, the idea, Trump did not buy the presidency. Trump is not that rich. You know what I mean? It's not like Trump is this guy who just outright bought the presidency in the same way that Mike Bloomberg is.
He's got cultural cachet.
He didn't spend that much money on his campaign. I literally think it's more dangerous for someone to outright buy the presidency, just straight up, than it is for like a populist like reality TV show guy to win the presidency.
Right.
Reality
People
TV
forget.
Show guy version is still just everybody getting swept up and voting for someone. Like the buying the presidency, that's
Slide
a replicatable
into oligarchy.
Act. That's a replicatable act that other billionaires will do. Like, Bloomberg's not the only other fucking billionaire.
And
like,
the
boomers, doesn't end here.
The boomers are so naive. Like, my mom being like, I don't support Bloomberg, but this is funny. I posted under to her. I was like, this is disgusting. You don't understand. You are giving free PR to this guy. And then all her friends are commenting like, I like Mike because blah, 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 blah. And she's like, just like, kind of pat, like not even.
Yeah, mom, you're supposed to get the money for
exactly.
These posts.
I was like, mom, you're not even getting paid.
Yeah,
you're not even getting paid.
You're doing this for free when you could be getting like $200 a pop. God,
post for free.
Yeah,
seriously, it's like, but like they don't. They're naive. They don't understand that like how political disinformation actually works. They think it's all like Russia bots or whatever the fuck, like MSNBC is telling them, but really it's stuff like this. It's a tacit approval because like everyone just assumes that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and it's like you just forget how absolutely evil this guy is.
I don't know if people really forget, though, because even when someone is for him, they're like, oh, I really like that one thing, but he looks like he's wearing a human skin. I mean,
well, the real deal thing is that, like, you know, he is a Republican. Like, he, you know, he ran New York City in a way that was like, you know, he did stop and frisk. That was millions of people. Like, if you can imagine, if you just, all you have to do is spread out, you know, the Bloomberg style of governance across the entire United States and then, like, have an idea of, like, what that's going to look like.
Well, it's
like,
kind of happening with ICE, you know? It's sort of like the things that stop and frisk enabled people to do with, like, monitoring and rounding up, like, communities in what's supposed
to
be a sanctuary city. It's like, you know, he really opened the door for so many subsequent like slides down into this position that we're in and continuously going into where we're just like completely criminalizing
people. Bloomberg's whole thing, one of his things was like being like, I inherited stop and frisk from from Giuliani.
Inherited, because he's so rich, all he can do is inherit things.
It's completely bullshit, because he completely invigorated stop and frisk and made it like even worse and affected even more people than Giuliani, who Giuliani, by the way, he has a private company that literally it goes around different cities and different cities around the world, not just in the United States, different cities around the world, to train those cities' police forces to enact more policies like his NYPD.
Oh, snap.
So
exporting.
We have Giuliani and Bloomberg and all these fuckers to thank for Bolsonaro, for example. Like, they were...
Well, I don't know. I think that entirely. Brazilian politics, like, can take care of its own...
Absolutely.
I don't know if New York, like, made Brazil happen.
No. I'm not saying, but we have consultants, people that Giuliani is directly tied to, who were involved in helping imprison Lula and were involved in electing Bolsonaro. I'm not saying they're entirely responsible, but that's like the amount of influence that Stop and Frisk has had, not just on New York City, but around the world, it's horrible. And like,
yeah, it was just, you know, a terror program, you know, run against black and brown residents of New York. They stopped and frisked more black and brown people than there are actually black and brown people living in New York City.
What?
They got everyone at least once.
Oh my God.
And it's just, you know, you when trying to put his record in perspective, and again, this is stuff that he was defending up until a few months ago, vigorously defending up until a few months ago.
Right.
He has caused more suffering to black people than like any 100 Klansmen. Like, if if it was Michael Bloomberg versus David Duke, you would still need to take a few minutes to decide, like, okay, which person deserves to be president the least? It would actually be who has actually done more harm to black people, David Duke or Michael Bloomberg? It would actually be.
It would accelerate
like
an armed revolution. I'm just going to say. Like, it would.
Hey, look, the idea of the Bloomberg presidency, you know, I agree. Like, I do think it accelerates things a lot in an interesting way.
Jesus.
It's fucked.
And it's going to be so depressing, though, because we'll end up just, like, being... We'll be Russia.
I mean, like, yeah. Oligarchy.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Yeah, like, yeah.
You can't call them an oligarch.
Oh, yeah, Lucia, get a load of this. Yeah, please tell Lucia what you're referring to, Leslie.
So there was a segment on MSNBC, which is, if you don't know, is supposed to be the liberal, progressive, left-leaning network.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Where one of their paid contributors is a guy who's on there all the time, named by the name of Dr. Jason Johnson, a black writer, scholar, was on the same panel as Nina Turner, who is the, you know, fiery, vigorous, very inspiring surrogate for Bernie Sanders. I forget her. Forget her actual, you know, campaign name, but she's a high level in the Bernie Sanders organization. And at some point she was asked by one of the hosts, do you consider Mike Bloomberg a oligarch? And she said yes, because she can count and she knows what Bloomberg's old job was. He has billions and billions of dollars, and he buys his way into office. That's, you know, oligarchy. It's very basic stuff. And Dr. Jason Johnson went apoplectic about this. I really cannot overstate how angry he got. This is a black guy who primarily writes about things from a racial perspective. He was so furious at this black woman for suggesting that this white racist is an oligarch, because his basic argument was, we don't use that word about Americans, only Russians. He's not an oligarch. He finally conceded that, okay, maybe Mike Bloomberg is an oligarch with his $60+ billion, but then so is Bernie Sanders with his $1 to $2 million. If you say Bloomberg is an oligarch, you have to say Bernie Sanders is an oligarch. Same thing.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Was he the same person who said saying oligarch is Orientalism?
No, that's a different guy.
It all comes from the same thing, though, because that's what they were trying to run on MSNBC was this idea that, like, to say oligarch is trying to tie him to Russia, and that's not fair. I swear to God, that whole like thing that they tried to run on Nina Turner on MSNBC is like based on that they have all lost their minds about Russia, and so they can't think of the word oligarch as anything other than like about, you know, fucking Russian influence in our elections.
I mean, but the parallels are getting really absurd, though, where we're denying the possibility that an oligarchy is on the horizon. And we're just
that's
like,
how you know you're in an oligarchy?
Yeah, exactly. Either. And then you're like, you know, it's like anyone who's complaining so much about Russiagate doesn't realize that we're operating in the same way. And they're like, the denial is just so thick that it's like, I can't pierce the veil and like veil. And like, I don't know. I just I'm not looking forward to this.
No, and honestly, it makes me so upset. And the reason why I say that, like some people, I feel like just have forgotten because literally my mom knows that me and Joey were literally stopped and frisked the year before stop and frisk ended during the Obama presidency, had a gun pointed to our heads and we're stopped and frisked. This is something that it's so right in front of their faces, and like, what are they like, just like holding their nose, like, and pretending it's not happening or something?
I don't know. I mean, I've been stopped and frisked too, but
it's fucked up.
I hung out in Tompkins Square, so
yeah. I mean, it's like, this is something that is affecting.
Shouldn't have gone outside.
So yeah, it's like, what? You're not supposed to go to your public park. You're not supposed to go to like what? Like what? Like.
No, it's, yeah, it's insane. But, you know, it opens the door for this greater possibilities of authoritarian regimes.
But people, yeah, and people like you and me, like, we, you know, we've been able to stay in New York City. So many people have been displaced entirely from the city. And so it's like out of sight, out of mind, is, I think, the hope with a lot of these folks, because it's really all about real estate to them.
It's about cleaning up.
It's about redlining, right? It's about, like, you know. Literally Bloomberg on tape being like, the end of redlining is why the financial crisis happened.
Yep.
Like, this is what we're up against.
No,
like,
he's tragically kind of anti-humanist. He just doesn't really want life for anyone.
This is, and again, like, I think that what this all like gets back to is that, like, if you are a Bloomberg supporter, if you're like a person in media or someone with money who's supporting Bloomberg, then you simply do not care about policy. Like, you just don't like that Trump says cuss words and it embarrassing for you to go to France.
Exactly.
Like, that is like the core of it.
And
like,
you can be
that's
cool.
What you, if you want to vote for a president that will make it not embarrassing to go to France, but also is still like decimating the lives of black and brown people at home and doing pretty much the exact same policy, then Bloomberg's the guy. And I think that, you know, there are, I don't know that this is like a significant electoral block, but I do think that there are like people, you know, I do think that that's maybe a popular thought among elite liberals and the wealthy.
Right, because it's not all boomers, right? We have that really cool boomer lady with the bag who got up during the Bloomberg rally and called him a plutocrat.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She rocks.
I don't think it's
she's
like
awesome,
really
yeah.
ageism
yeah.
that is our. I mean,
no,
you
no,
know,
no.
It's not
that's
like,
why I'm bringing her up because
yeah,
she rocks.
I mean, it is weird, like the complacency of older generations and their willingness to accept like kind of just bits of information that are positive enough that like doesn't shake their worldview too
right.
much.
Right.
Right. Right.
Seems like there's a lot of sensitivity out there and it's not really just relegated to boomers.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Right. And it's just kind of like, all right, well, you know, what's a way to talk about this information where it's like, hey, you know what? You don't have to be scared. You just have to be informed. Because these people do have a history of violence and racism and fucking classism, and they don't have your best interests at heart. So can you just take a minute and like maybe look at Bloomberg in under this lens where this is like the stuff he actually does?
Right.
It's like, yeah, there's plenty of information. And I think it's also happening. You know, there's like a lot there is a like a wide share of Bloomberg saying like just horrendous things and it's coming out now, and I think we're in the middle of a wave of his like kind of, you know, his appraisal or whatever, like his media appraisal, where all of the dirt is just being just dug up, his like skeletons are exhumed and everyone is gonna just see it.
He can't buy off the entire internet.
Right,
he
exactly
can't buy off the entire internet.
Yeah, he's not gonna be able to get past this gauntlet.
Like folks like Jack and Drew Spears. How do you say Drew's last name?
Spears. Yeah.
Drew Spears digging up the inner circle clips, for example.
Oh my god, they're amazing.
This inner circle, I didn't even know about this like before yesterday. And I'm sorry, I know that you all are in New York, and there's a lot of great people in New York, and a lot of good stuff.
Oh my god, we hang
there.
Out on Broadway
all day long. We go to Times Square.
This is the most depraved shit I've ever seen in my life.
Open Frisk'em style. We've got big hands, but we know how to use them gently. We're stopping crime in neighborhoods where they don't drive a Bentley. We don't know why lawyers for the perp say it's a big deal. We're just trying to cop a feel. Drinking soda here is definitely a big no-no. Nursing babies here is something everyone must forego. In some neighborhoods, they don't appreciate our efforts. Think that we're not fair. Latinos and men of color, tell us no.
No.
We gotta go.
Go.
In a pickle, we like to tickle. In their hood, we think it's good. We're just having risky Frisk'em style fun, 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 fun.
Open Frisk'em style.
Frisk'em style.
Frisk'em style. Frisk'em style.
This is the most depraved shit. These inner circle shows where a bunch of reporters and bloggers do like an hour of sketch and stand up before the mayor of New York does a musical clapping back. I'm sorry, but that city has to go. No, it's gone too far.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that scene in Satyricon. Do you all remember that movie?
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh my God, a fantastic. Gorgeous movie, must see, everyone before you die. It's one of those movies. Watch it if it's a rainy day or something. It's a little slow, but it's just gorgeous. But there's this scene in it where you follow this band of travelers and they're all sort of like, you know, going from scenario to scenario and gaining like the mystical wisdoms. They you know, they end up like coming across this like king figure, and he's rich and he's having this big dinner party, and it's orchestrated the same way as this musical sort of scenario where it's like, yeah, whatever, everything is centered around me and it doesn't matter if I'm good or bad, I just have wealth. And in it he delivers this line that's something that's like, yeah, I'm a poet, you know, because I said so, and I'm rich, so like nobody fucking says anything against me. It's like I'm an artist. Like, look at me go. I'm the minute you gain wealth, you gain culture.
When you watch Bloomberg on these, like in doing these Broadway numbers, you can see this like this little guy being like, I'm supporting the arts.
Yeah,
I'm,
he like has that energy. Art. And then the fact that he like is the main contributor to so many arts funds, like you see it all over the place. And like open up any catalog and it's like, you know, made possible by donations from the Bloomberg Foundation. And he is like the fucking art guy. Like he's like as big as the Sacklers and he has gotten no flack.
And he's friends with the Sacklers.
Yeah.
And all these people.
Their names are all over, you know, like every museum, every gallery, any book that you want to have published, like a bunch of PBS stuff here, like all of the like local film
right.
They're funding
the arts to the neoliberals is nothing more than a tool for displacement, to free up real estate, to free up development. Like you see it with,
it's like a catch-all. It's just like soft power doesn't really have one like outlet for know, it's just like, oh well, we'll sprinkle a little art on whatever the problem is, like we'll give them a Colosseum game
a big part of the Amazon HQ2 before that was defeated. Part of the deal was free studio space in Long Island City.
Oh my God,
for artists.
Yeah.
And that's Art de Blasio, that's Cuomo.
Yeah.
You know,
and they tried to do the same thing down with the Navy Yard in a different respect, just to like invigorate real estate.
Right. And it's, and de Blasio is no better than these folks. He was elected based on, you know, the city was super upset during Black Lives Matter. De Blasio has a black family. This is why he was elected, and he's just been a complete and utter failure and shill, just like the rest of them. And we don't want his endorsement for Sanders. We don't want it.
Yeah. Well, look, you're saying all this about all these, you know, oligarchs throwing away all this money at art. And it just makes me wonder, like, when are they going to start throwing their money around on the new form
podcast?
Yes, exactly. When are they going to start spreading the wealth around?
Right. It's about
time. You know, the this is the art form of the 21st century. And I think, you know, if Bloomberg wants any chance in this primary or the general election, he needs to start sponsoring podcasts. And we're open to it. Yeah. We're open to it on a session.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll take the money.
Yeah. Buy me out. Bloom B. You're my boy.
The thing is, you know, they already have all the PodSave network and like different Spotify networks.
They're like, what? There's something outside of NPR?
Money.
Yeah, they don't even have to give them money. They're all friends. They have their own outlets. And, you know, and I do want to bring in Buttigieg and Liz Smith into this, because Liz, all of this is related. So I was trying to make the case on Facebook when I was getting into all these Bloomberg arguments. I was like, I'm never gonna vote for Bloomberg, and I'm never gonna vote for Mayor Pete. And people were trying to be like, okay, I understand Bloomberg, but Pete's different.
No, he's freaky.
Pete's fucked up.
Bad.
It's all the same.
Also racist.
Also a huge racist. And also,
he's a very small little rat, actually.
He's not a big guy. He's a little tiny rat.
Yeah. But with a lot of racism inside. Yeah.
And so his communications director is this woman, Liz Smith. And Liz Smith was the spokeswoman for the IDC, like we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And also consulted Cuomo and all of these blue dog Democrats who are the scum of the earth. They are Republicans.
Yeah.
I do not vote for Republicans. I'm not going to do it.
This is the new ROM. It's like the ROM style of Democrat politics, where we just are changing the Democratic Party into Republicans. And then we're like, we won Republican votes. Well, what the fuck is the point then?
Yeah, that's been a long-running strategy to the point where now the DNC basically is having, like, this extreme crisis of faith, where it's like, we used to be the party for working people, and now all of a sudden we don't really know what our values are, and we're trying out all these candidates on people based on identity politics, because that's all we can really, like, claim to as Democrats. We know that people have identities, right? And it's like, yeah, well, they also have needs.
People forget. They forget that Obama was able to overtake the Clinton machine because of his Iraq war vote, because there was a huge anti-war movement. And, like, they just think all those people have gone away. Yeah. And they haven't. And the absolute jingoism of the DNC in the last convention and all the psychos who are involved with the Iowa debacle and all of that shit, like, has to go. They all have to go. They all have to be purged.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, at the end of all this, it's like, you know, I think Bernie's going to win, but whether or not Bernie wins, the party's going to be fucked up.
Sure, yes.
The party is never going to be the same.
Yes.
Whether or not Bernie wins. And so, you know, that's the way it's going to go down.
I'm into it. I'm ready for it to get broken up. And
seriously. And so
I want it to be the right way, where, like, we're on the inside and, like, you know, taking it apart and everything and putting the right people in and all that. But it's also possible that the other way will just happen and the party will just, like, burn to embers, like, to the ground.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Consumed by locusts.
They don't know what they're playing with. They really don't understand.
They really don't. I actually, like, I really don't think that they understand.
I don't think they do either.
People, like, who are, you know, in the sort of centrist wing are soft. You know what I mean? Like, they've been making money for too long, and they've been, like, having good careers, and also they've been, like, surrounded by people who can never, like, disagree with them. And they're soft as fuck, and that's why I think we're going to win this election.
Yeah, they're soft except for Klobuchar.
She's the one to beat.
Yo!
I mean, luckily, even, like, there's this great clip of her going on The View. And then just getting hammered by, like, the one woman on The View who's, like, a legal scholar or something who, like, hammered Klobuchar on this case that happened under her police department I don't remember all the details, but basically, like, it was just another horrendous, like, police brutality case.
Of course.
And even The View hammered her on it.
Wow.
Which is, like, wild.
Klobuchar is interesting. Like, without her, like, you know, scripted lines, she does not do very well.
Yeah.
Like, she just went down to, she, like, did, a bunch of interviews. I don't remember what was it for. I think I just retweeted it here. But she did. She did interviews on Noticias. You know, where she went and interviewed with Mexican journalists, and she wasn't prepared to know the name of the president of Mexico.
Of Mexico.
They like nailed her on not knowing. They were like, "Well, do you like the president?" And she's like, "Oh, he's doing good stuff." And he's like, "Well, can you like name him?" She does not know the name of the president of Mexico, and like, I'm a fucking dumbass. But I could at least be like AMLO. You know what I mean? I would at least be like, I know it's AMLO. How about that?
Seriously. Oh, but the reason I wanted to circle back to Liz Smith again was because I wanted you to tell our audience about the Nigerian scammer Liz Smith.
Yeah. So look, this is some weird shit going on today. And it's like all still breaking literally as we speak right now.
Oh, man.
Literally as we speak right now. So it came out this morning. And I think that it was thanks to, and I want to get the actual name of the account because it's one of these kind of weed guy 420 boner kind of accounts that broke the entire story.
The wonderful journalist of our time.
The wonderful journalist of our time.
The names of prestige.
Yeah. I want to find the actual Feral Hogs 420. That's what it is. Feral Hogs 420.
Thank you.
Was able to break
this
story.
Thank you for your service.
Should I say that BuzzFeed just posted a story debunking it within
Think it's debunked. That's the thing. That's why I'm saying it's still breaking
it.
Here.
You're
this is why I think it is still breaking here, Leslie. So this morning, Feral Hogs 420 noticed that there was a sort of suspicious account called Easy Chinedu. Which was, you know, that seemed to be very, very suspiciously. A Pete Buttigieg supporter account that had a very weird, you know, message, you know, that was like, hey, it's Liz, you know, posted to it. Now, a lot of people thought that this account was Liz Smith running a weird sort of Stan account or something like that. And, you know, people found a bunch of stuff that sort of led it to look like that this
was
a Liz Smith.
Corollary posting
correct.
Habits and things like that.
Yeah, using the word chutzpah all the time and stuff. There's like kind of interesting weird stuff going on.
Similar flourishes. Literally,
right.
There's
so then,
a tweet where he quote unquote says like, "Hey, it's Liz."
Right.
Phase four.
And so look, there is an explanation for this that they've sort of come up with now. But you know, things are still a little bit weird around this account. So the person, this person who is supposedly this Nigerian who's posting, you know, from this account, I guess. Sometime before he became like a total Mayor Pete stan, was posting on Reddit a lot about like creating sock puppet accounts and selling sock puppet accounts. Like before this
That's
person
wild.
Became like a Mayor Pete stan, they were a, you know, Destiny poster and sock puppet account seller on Reddit.
Wow.
And so what's broken since then is Liz Smith, you know, denied that the account had anything to do with her. And there is now this BuzzFeed article where a BuzzFeed reporter, Insider.
Which BuzzFeed?
Jane Litvinenko or something like that. She's like a digital reporter for them. And so there are a couple different outlets claiming that they have spoken now with this person who runs this account. But basically what's being sourced at this point is that, you know, a couple reporters have received emails from this person. You know what I mean? So
right.
I still do think that there's weirdo shit going on with this. And I still think it's pretty clear that the Pete Buttigieg campaign runs like a whole network of alts and bots and stuff like that. And I do think that this is an account that was like purchased to and made to look real. And that was part of the sort of like alt botnet that they're doing with the Buttigieg campaign.
So I have a question. Do you think that this is like one of the entry points into taking down that kind of a network? Or do you delegitimize one account as being a puppet?
Right.
Is there a possibility to unearth others, or is this sort of just like one isolated case?
I think
case?
It's an interesting, for me, I just think it's an interesting, you know, however, whenever, whatever ways on the edges you can see how these campaigns are being, you know, run is interesting to me. You know what I mean? Like whatever sort of like weird, and you know, when you really get into a lot of the, you know, there's a whole mess of accounts that are really strange and very specific accounts for Pete that were all made around March and yeah. April of last year. And this really does look like the kind of like psychographing stuff that they do at like Cambridge Analytica.
Right.
Like these are the sort of like hyper targeted accounts, like Pacific Islanders for Pete 2020, Boy Mom for Pete, One-Eyed Pets for
Weird.
Pete.
Wait,
boy, boy Mom for Pete. Boy Mom for Pete. Okay. And these accounts all follow each other. These accounts all follow each other, and it's like Methodists for Pete's, Pete follows agnostics for Pete.
Yeah, that's not weird
Pete.
At all. We yeah, all just like, love Pete.
It's like, and they all have very specifically, they say, we are not affiliated with the official campaign, you know, in their bio. Like, this is, I don't know what the yeah. fuck it all is, but it's like some kind of weirdo influence campaign that right. they're running over at the Buttigieg campaign because, you know, what they're trying to do is a Macron-style campaign where they, like, cheat as much as possible and go to the edge of the rules and litigate, and hopefully win the presidency that way.
Seriously, and this is why I want to link Bloomberg and Pete in people's minds, because, like, I don't think that Bloomberg is a viable candidate, even if, like, there is, like, a brokered convention or whatever. Like, people are saying, like, oh, they're going to give it to Bloomberg after the brokered convention. I think Bloomberg is kind of a stand-in for Pete more than anything.
Interesting.
Like, I think that, like, they're so, like, I think that Bloomberg knows that, like, because, like people keep saying, like, oh, yeah, Bloomberg's just going to give whoever's a nominee funding. Yeah. And it's like the only type of person who's going to accept that type of funding is Pete.
Right. Well, look, I think that what is like actually happening at the core of this, you know, the entire, you know, Democratic primary is that the Democrats don't have money. Like
right.
the DNC is actually bankrupt.
Right.
You look at the fundraising for any of these non-Bernie campaigns and they're not bringing in money. So it's like we yeah. they do need at some point to run a general election campaign, and there's no money sitting around the DNC to run one. None of these campaigns are raising any money at all. Mm-hmm. So the question is, like, where does the money come from? With Bernie, we know where it comes from. It comes from small donors and, you know, fundraising.
Right.
For all the rest of these candidates,
well, they come to our town. So they come to Wall Street. And uh-huh. they do these events, and there's different groups that have now started to meet them at events, right? So there's one group called Queers Against Pete, mm-hmm. and they found out where Pete was doing a Wall Street fundraiser and like waited outside with a bunch of signs, and just shouting him down, basically.
That was so awesome. I feel like, wasn't that the one where like somebody yelled out, like, you're homophobes or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they were like, we're all gay.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's literally a queer people of color led group that...
yeah, right. Just to cover all the bases, like, yeah. We're the ones who can do this.
Literally, we're... Right. We're taking apart any sort of identity politics you might be trying to throw at us.
Yeah. This is what true allyship is really all about.
Right.
This is what intersectionality is really all about.
Right. And I recommend folks follow Communities for Change, which is like the other group that's also catching Biden coming to Wall Street and doing different protests. One protest they just did was with a bunch of like coffins, and they like waited in the lobby of this like... event, and like just like
one of these is gonna be yours soon, Biden.
I mean, it was supposed to be because his campaign is dying.
Yeah,
but it's fucking rad. Yeah. It's really rad. So it's like you know, sure. You know, New York is has a lot of problems, but there are these like groups that are fighting
sure.
back.
Hell yeah.
And they rock.
I make fun of New York because of the you know, exceedingly wealthy inbred people
totally.
Up in, you know, Broadway. But that's like the 0.001% of who's in the city. There are so many great people and things in the city. It's yeah. just too bad that you know, there are Habsburgs people in like fur coats, you know,
no,
going
totally.
To watch, like spending like $800 to watch SpongeBob the musical or whatever.
I think you're overcorrecting by saying New York is full of great people.
What's a New York podcast, Leslie? I'm code switching.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we are. We're all real great, you know?
I'm fucking walking here. The water's
Come
good as
on.
Hell. All right.
Yeah.
Stop busting
Put it in
our
your
chops.
Bagels.
But no, seriously, we appreciate the, you know, the posters war that you guys are running. I wanted you to also be able to plug your new platform that is raising money for the Sanders campaign.
Yes. I've launched a... I'm launching a new website that I am registering a trademark for. It's a brand new thing. It's called horsewhisperer.com. And we've, you know, it's kind of shifted a little bit, you know, on the page, but, you know, it is all, you know, in honor of Horse Whisperer. Right now, it's, if you go to it right now, it's Chinedu Pawn for Bernie. A picture of Liz.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's, we've been doing a lot of raising. We've done Neera Tanden for Bernie, Horse Whisperer for Bernie. We're in past $90,000 now. We will hit $100,000 on this page.
It's amazing.
Which is fucking wild.
And it's all, I chipped in when I got blocked by the horse. And so, yeah, if you guys check on Twitter, if you're blocked by the horse, chip in.
You have to
chip in.
You have to. That's actually the rule. If you are blocked by Horse Whisperer, then you have to go to horsewhisperer.com. Even if it doesn't say Horse Whisperer on there anymore, you still have to go and donate at the page.
It's great, and I love that you keep like adding whenever there's like a new digital grift that these fuckers are trying to run.
Yeah, it's like $10 to buy a domain. You know?
It's really nice. But yeah, the digital warfare shit is real, and like, you know, fans of us have heard us talk on a number of episodes about like digital influence and Cambridge Analytica type shit. But you know, it's all happening right now. And I saw a tweet you wrote, Jack, that I really have been thinking about, which is like people trying to dismiss the influence as online as being only like 10% of how people.
Right. That was literally Liz Smith and Jon Favreau posting about that.
All right. Woof. Fuck these
so
people.
Look, the people that...
But that's the
then
point.
Like, yeah, because then
that's
well,
a huge
how do
amount
you
of people.
Get into like also like the frightening aspects of the digital brown shirts?
Right.
And then you go,
it is so
right
funny,
and it's
like
oh, but it's
people,
nobody.
Right. Well, yeah. Like, these ideas are contradictory. Like,
right.
Facebook can't have swung the election and also Twitter is not real life. You
right.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
These two run contrary. Like, now I don't think that Facebook swung the election. I think that actually, you know, the Trump campaign had a much better online, like,
Hillary
game
didn't
than,
campaign
than
in
the
Michigan.
Clinton campaign. And she didn't campaign in Michigan and Wisconsin. And, you know, and on top of that, like, I think that, you know, maybe the Russian fake news thing, like, was just one, like, prong of their very successful digital strategy, you know what I mean, and it's been massively overstated.
Right.
But yeah, like there was a poll that came out of New Hampshire that was like 10% of respondents said that they get their news from Twitter, and
just
that's an enormous
Twitter?
Amount of people.
Yeah, just
like,
Twitter.
Liz Smith and Jon Favreau were like scoffing about this, being like, "Just a reminder: 10% of people say they get their news from Twitter," and I'm like, if you compare the people that watch cable news in 2016 against all the voters that showed up in 2016, it's less than 1% of the people who showed up to vote. So that, and that's even assuming that everybody that watches primetime cable news actually shows up to vote.
Right.
Which I think that's a very generous, that's generous even to begin with. So cable news, you know, primetime cable news affects the vote, like, you know, is less than 1% of voters. And so if they're saying that, like, New Hampshire voters get their news from Twitter at a rate of, like, 10%, that's an insane amount of people for a platform that is, like, less gatekept and that we can, like, sort of collectively control the narrative.
Yeah.
That's insane. And we need to go as hard as fuck on that platform. You know what I mean? Like, Twitter's not real life. Activism is more important. Get out there and knock doors and canvas. But we should also own the ground on Twitter as well.
Yeah, Twitter is seriously the Bernie camp's domain. It's so amazing and it's really fun. And like, you know, I like say to people who still might be in Warren camp or something is just come join us. It's very fun. Mm-hmm.
And you'll be on the winning side.
And you're
side.
Winning. And then you'll be winning. Right.
That's the other thing. I'm like, they're all so mad, but it's only because we're all such fucking good posters. Like, I am really ready. I'm really ready. I'm ready for the K-Hive to come over. Like, I'm ready to welcome them all. And, like, let's all fucking go all in against the MAGA people who are truly fucking, like, irredeemable. Like, let's get the biggest flame war of all time going.
Let's go.
Like, stop with the stupid bullshit.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's so lovely. I think we should try to wrap up on that.
That's a high note to end on, everyone.
Beautiful. Join the flame wars. They rock because we're winning.
Yes.
And it's really upset weirdos are trying to spin it like, you know, Bernie bros are like white misogynists and they just cannot do that anymore.
It turns out that is not the case. You know what I mean? Like, it turns out that just was not the case.
It was
and
never
so they
the
can't
case.
Run that game anymore. All they can do is be like, you're mean. And it's like, well, shut up.
Well, they can try to run it, but then you saw what happened to Liz's campaign after she tried to lean into the Bernie bro thing, and she sucked. She's, you know, in fourth or fifth place now.
I think she's got, like, a week left, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God. She needs to, like, gracefully duck out, and then, like, I don't know. I've been saying this since before, like 2016. I was like, yo, Elizabeth Warren, so good in, like, a cabinet position.
Yeah, I remember
so good.
Talking about that.
Like, just, like, put her in some kind of treasury thing where she just, like,
which,
deals...
of course, the Bernie camp leaked after Warren did all of her snake shit at that debate.
Yeah.
The Bernie campaign was like, by the way, we were considering Liz not just for VP, but also to do a dual role with Treasury Secretary because we know VP doesn't actually do a lot of shit and we want Liz to actually be effective.
Yeah.
And so we were
she's
researching
like made for the role.
If she could do a dual role in our campaign.
Yeah, she's just got to dip
through
that
away.
So that she can just like resuscitate her image.
She hired all these people though. She like hired all the Kamala people and like this is like the last ditch effort. It's like the
and
totally
it works so
last
well
ditch.
For Kamala.
You know, that's the thing. Like,
do you know what saved like, do you know what saved us really is all of like the reforms to bring California sooner in the primary cycle.
Huge.
Really was so huge. Really saved our fucking ass because they were really
They complain so much about all the, you know, reforms that the Sanders people demanded. And I'm like, well, you know, it actually sounds like it was good to ask for a lot of transparency in Iowa because it sounds like it's been fucked up for since the 1800s.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, seems like maybe that was like good to do.
Literally in the New York Times, we're not just talking like, you know, stuff like going against the BuzzFeed article like we were earlier. This was like literally in the New York Times saying that like for the past like 50 to 100 years, the Iowa caucus has been fucked up.
Yeah, that's what Jeff Weaver said. Like, you know, Jeff Weaver, I guess, said that directly to, you know, the now resigned Troy Price, and he hung up on him on the phone. Ugh. It's like, you know, they were supposed to have all of these numbers. The difference this time was that they were just reporting them. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
So that's a big issue. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, the reforms that the Sanders campaign, that the Sanders people asked for, you know, the centrist Dems will argue that that's what caused all the trouble in Iowa or whatever. The real reality is that it helped us realize that maybe Iowa has been fucked up forever.
And that's what's caused Kamala to drop out early because she didn't want to lose her home state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also, look, I think Kamala dropping out was like the big, was kind of the big turning point, you know, because number one, you know, they were all predicting that Kamala was just going to kill with black voters. And so this kind of puts an end to the demographics are destiny argument for Democrats. You know what I mean? And then also,
and they're flailing.
They will make the argument, too, that, like, you know, what hurt Kamala was everybody, you know, making people aware of her record in a way that the media won't. And they're like, oh, it's not fair. They call her Kamala the cop and killed her campaign. No, literally, they just, like, said what she has done as a public servant or elected official. I don't like the term public servant.
Yeah, because she's not a servant.
Look, I think that it was a big turning point. Like the fact number one that it was people showing what her record is and doing that in a way that was like, you know, kind of crowdsourced. You know what I mean? The media wasn't covering it, and then that was able because it was based in fact. To swing the election. And, you know, a huge establishment favorite had to drop out because of fundraising. So, you know, I think that that's a really big deal. Like, I think Kamala dropping out was the big turning point in this election, and you know, maybe the moment when a lot of establishment Democrats realized the sky was falling.
Yeah,
it's incredible that, like, when that happened, I was like, wow, we might actually have this. Like, I really think she was our biggest threat.
I agree.
Honestly.
I actually do agree. I was like, you know, and I was a little stunned when it went down the way it did, like with her, you know, before even any votes were held. I was like, whoa, like this thing is like happening, actually.
It rocks. And you know, we're doing it. We're doing our best. We're canvassing. We're calling.
Oh, yeah.
We're posting. And it's all helping. It is.
People previously unengaged in the electoral process. Are picking up all their shattered hopes, putting them together,
and it's clarifying. And donating. It's so beautifully clarifying as a legit like communist, like socialist. Like, it's clarifying. You see these folks like Bloomberg enter a race like this, and you see how people react to it, and suddenly it becomes clear how dire, like, and pressing shit is, and how real shit is. I think it's like. I think it's a really going to be, it already has been a really fruitful election for socialist causes and movement building. I really do.
I agree. And I feel, you know, like really, I feel like I feel very heartened just by, you know, how widespread it is. And by people that even people in my life that I saw in 2016, like having no consciousness about any of this stuff. Like, I'm like, wow, people have really fucking been radicalized.
It's awesome. And I want to say thank you guys for doing an episode of Art and Labor on this stuff. You know, we're doing.
Let's talk about Star Trek.
We're going to talk about Star Trek with you now, and when we got it all out of our system. And I hope folks support you guys on Patreon to find our Star Trek TNG episode that we're about to record right after this.
Yay!
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
In NYC. Ride on the ferry, use the library, totally free. Here we have Kelly, Shift and Shaw. There you have Shakespeare in the park. No Barracuda, not like Bermuda in NYC. Down here we got snapping turtles.
Up there we got big fat bugs.
Down here the whale's making trouble.
Up there A-Rod's taking drugs.
New Yorkers, the bravest people. The cops on the beat, they care.
It's true, firefighters, teachers. We got heroes everywhere.